Otherwise, we'll get feedback. Father, we pray that the words that I speak, that what each one of us hears and meditates on in our hearts and our minds, may be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. People who don't know Jesus sometimes ask, so what difference does Jesus make to your life? Well, let me tell you about something that happened to me that might answer that question. When I was a teenager, I used to go caving, exploring underground passages in the limestone rocks to the north of Cardiff, where I lived. To go caving, I had all the right equipment. I had boots. I had protective clothing, protection against cold and wet, helmet, gloves, ropes, and perhaps most important of all, a lamp. We used miners' battery lamps attached to our helmets. Well, one day, three of us were deep underground, over a mile into the cave system, some 300 feet below ground. It was a dangerous cave. It was a rift cave, in the shape of a V, and there were boulders lodged in this V-shaped rift. And so in some parts, you had to step from one boulder to another with a 100-foot drop between the boulders. I never told my mother what it was like. And when we were at our farthest from the entrance, one by one, our lamps went out. The batteries were flat. It was dark. It was opaque darkness. There was absolutely not a glimmer of light anywhere. You just could not see anything. And we were frightened. It was dangerous. It was cold. How would we get out? We couldn't negotiate those passages without light. How long would it be before anybody came to find us? And then in the distance, we heard voices. Someone else was in the cave that day. A pinprick of light glowing bright, growing brighter. We were guided out of the caves. We were guided into the light. And what a relief, what joy, what thanks for our guides when we got out into the entrance of the cave and into the sunlight. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John tells us a great deal about Jesus as light, which we can trace throughout his account of the gospel, right from the beginning when he says, in him, in Christ, was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not understood it. There's something very effective. At the beginning of a carol service, particularly if you're in a church where there's not a lot of light outside, and you come to that carol service in the evening, and all the lights are put out, and you light a solitary candle at the beginning, at the front of the church, and the congregation recognize that one candle can dispel the darkness. As followers of Christ, we can do the same. I love the poster which I used to have in my study with the words, don't complain about the darkness, light a candle. But John also tells us that darkness doesn't understand the light. And so we move to the reading that we had this morning, the first encounter of Jesus with an individual. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He ventures out of the darkness into the light, into the presence of Jesus. He has come at night for fear of what others might think. He comes out of a human-centered world into the freedom of Christ. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Stop living in fear in the darkness and find the freedom of living in the light. At this stage, Nicodemus clearly doesn't fully understand what Jesus is saying. And as we come to the end of this chapter, Jesus says that the light has come into the world and reveals both truth and evil. Those who live truth will love the light, but those whose lives are evil will want to hide in the shadows. And we know how true this is. When we've done something good, we want the whole world to know about it. When we've done something of which we're ashamed, we want the ground to open up and conceal it and us. One of the greatest fears is being found out, as the post office inquiry is revealing. Or we may think of those skeletons in our own cupboards that we don't want to be revealed. As we move on in John's account of the gospel, we encounter a woman who's been found out, caught in the act of adultery. A man has, of course, also been found out, but he's managed to bribe or use his influence to worm out of the way of trouble. After this episode, we come to Jesus' declaration that he is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the very God of creation. The name that God gives to Moses. I am who I am. But the religious folk have their own idea of light and truth, which is based on tradition and on human rules and their interpretation, and their narrow and inadequate religious views are shown in the next event, when in chapter 9 we have a man who'd been born blind. And of course that indicated his sin, or the sin of his parents. But while Jesus is around, he brings sight and light. According to the religious rules, Jesus can't be a good person because he heals this man on the Sabbath. The blind man has the ironic response, he healed my blindness, you don't know who he is. So at the conclusion of this episode, Jesus says, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. The Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and said, what? Are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. Here's the difference between truth and light, blindness and failure to understand, as we read in our reading this morning. Jesus is light and truth, but we have to follow him. We have to believe him. We have to entrust our lives to him if we're going to walk in the light. To understand the mystery of existence, to make sense of this world, we need the light that God brings to every situation we face. But what happens when we die? Will we still be able to walk in the light? As we rapidly move to the passion, the climax of the mission of Jesus, the question of death becomes the central focus, and light in the darkness of death becomes a prominent theme. First of all, in chapter 11, where we have the death of Lazarus, one of Jesus' best-loved friends. Jesus is resurrection and life. He is light. And in the light of this truth, even the dead hear his voice. Come out, Lazarus! You've been dead 3 days. Come out. Lazarus is called out of the darkness of the tomb into the light of life. But of course, with this business of light and darkness, there's always a choice, even for those who share bread and wine at the Last Supper. Judas leaves the supper table. He goes away from the light. And John recalls, it was night. Judas goes out into the darkness. He'll do it his way. He'll do it the human way. He'll ignore God's life-giving light. And this action leads directly to Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Death is seen as nighttime. Separation from God is darkness, something which Jesus experiences on our behalf. From the cross, he says, "It is finished. The Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world." But this is not the end, because we recognize in this gospel that the dead will hear the voice of Christ. And on the first Easter morning, the darkness is dispelled by the sunrise. The tomb is empty, and God's Son is risen, and all the words of light, which is not overcome by darkness, are vindicated. On that first Easter evening, the disciples have the proof of the resurrection of Jesus. He comes as light into the nighttime darkness of the locked room. Gospel light, resurrection light, the presence of Jesus to bring peace and to banish fear. They are now empowered by the Holy Spirit to live as light in the world. But what does all this mean for us? This is an important message. This is gospel. This is Jesus' light for our darkness. In our world, we can be overwhelmed by the news, which seems to be a relentless account of doom and gloom, one dark cloud after another. There's violence on our streets. There was another murder just a day or so ago in Bedford. There is war in the Middle East and the Ukraine. There is poverty, starvation, some caused by war and some by climate change, which is leading to the deaths of many people, especially in the developing world, and especially amongst the children, who are the most vulnerable. But the gospel reminds us that Jesus is light for the world, and the darkness can't overcome it. And Jesus is also light for our personal darkness, for those fears and doubts which overwhelm us from time to time. Our relationships, family, children, elderly relatives, our health, our physical abilities, our jobs and future prospects, our doubts and questions about the meaning of our lives, and of course the separation that death inevitably brings. The good news is that Jesus Christ is the light that dispels darkness, the light that helps us to see the way ahead, who is able to continue to communicate with us, even in death. We can trust Jesus with our life in this world, in our death, and for eternity. Knowing Jesus is like coming out of that dark cave north of Cardiff into the light of day. Like Nicodemus, we can leave the darkness and come into the light of Christ, where we will find life and peace. Living in the light through the Holy Spirit's presence, finding life in all the fullness that God has created, the freedom from fear that we find in Christ, with the result that we will live as light through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't complain about the darkness. Light a candle. And for us, when we are sad or worried or frightened, he is with us. And we feel that it's all right. I can cope. This is what the Bible calls peace. May each one of us know this light in our darkest places, today and until we live in the light of Christ eternally. Amen.